One verse, we're going to read several other throughout the message and make reference to many. We want to take our thought from Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Deuteronomy 32 is the parting address of Moses to Israel. In our text, I believe this is Moses expressing before he enters into what he's going to say, expressing his desire, his confidence concerning his doctrine and speech. That, of course, is recorded in the rest of the chapter. And doctrine and speech here would be one and the same. His desire concerning these is that they would fall upon the people like rain, like the dew upon the earth. In other words, that it would penetrate into their hearts, that it would have an influence upon them, that it would produce good effects. The word we want to notice is that word doctrine. Doctrine. In modern day, so-called Christendom, most, I'm not talking about most of us, I'm talking about what is considered Christendom, most are looking to religion for something that will make them feel good about themselves, feel good about their circumstances, whatever their circumstances are, and then send them on their way to Cracker Barrel or Bob Evans or whatever, and then perhaps after that to the mall, and then home to watch some television or to take part in the activities of the world. And that pretty much describes modern-day so-called Christianity. Ours is a day where, and again, I'm not speaking of us here, I'm not speaking of the Lord's churches as much, but what is considered modern-day Christendom. Ours is a day, of course, when the majority of professing Christians, doesn't mean that they're saved, but they profess some form of Christianity. The majority are offended by the very word doctrine. They have absolutely no interest in doctrine. They will not tolerate it. They strike out against it in ridicule and contempt. And Paul told us that that would be the case. He told Timothy that would be the case, and I believe it was the case in Timothy's day, and it's only gotten worse until here we are. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If you don't have sound doctrine, you're going to substitute it with something else. And we see here that they would heap to themselves teachers. That is, to make them feel good about themselves, make them feel good about their circumstances. Nothing too serious. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth And having done that, they shall be turned unto fables. And how many today possess, and again I'm speaking of Christendom, this mindset, we need preaching that applies to our everyday lives rather than abstract doctrinal preaching. Now, there's a lot wrong with that thought process, and we'll get to that later. Most so-called churches now purposely stay away from anything that even gets near Bible doctrine in their church services. They do this because they have a fear of offending someone, and that person who's offended may not come back. Most so-called churches have designed their services to accommodate those who are offended by Bible doctrine. The sad result is so-called churches are nothing more than entertainment centers filled with ministries. We have more ministries today than we've ever had in the history of the world, probably. Ministries based upon nothing, because they stay away from doctrine. Ministries with no foundation. But if you have X amount of ministries, looks like you're doing something for the Lord. And as a result of this, even those who are saved in those type of organizations, and I believe there are saved individuals, children of God, caught up in those things, and even these, they don't know what church is about. They have no idea of what church is supposed to be, and they know nothing concerning the Word of God. You can take little children from this church or sister churches, and little children that have been in Sunday school for 4 or 5 years know more than adults that have been going to church all their lives in these entertainment places of entertainment. You can talk to people who have been saved a long time, and they know nothing. I mean, they don't know anything when it comes to Bible truths. And what's sad is they like it that way. That's what's truly sad. They're satisfied with that. Because where they go, they have friends, there's fellowship, they feel good, and that's what it's all about. But it ought to be our earnest desire that Bible doctrine, just as we read there in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2, that it drop as the rain. He says there that it drop as the rain, my speech shall distill or purify. Oh, that doctrine would drop as the rain and purify as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. So I want to speak tonight on the importance and value of Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine. What is doctrine? Well, in the Old Testament, it has the meaning of truth that is received, grasped, and embraced. That ought to be so of doctrine, Bible doctrine. In the New Testament, it has reference to the content of teaching. The content of teaching. So Bible doctrine refers to the teaching of the Scriptures. It is the teaching of the Scriptures. You put the Old Testament and New Testament meanings together, and this teaching of the Scriptures is to be received, it is to be grasped, it is to be embraced. So Bible doctrine is simply the teaching of God's Word. And we should make no mistake about it, the Bible is a book of doctrine. On every page, there is doctrine. Doctrine is the content of the Word of God. You take doctrine out of God's Word, you don't have anything left. There's nothing left. Again, doctrine is the teaching of God's Word, whether it be by principle or whether it be by direct statement. It's the teaching of God's Word. So when a church says, we don't really get into doctrine, what are they saying? We really don't have anything. And we really don't have anything to offer you that's going to help you, but we're sure glad you're here. I mean, if they're honest, that would be, they would just come out and say it. You take doctrine out of God's Word, you have nothing left. And that is the problem with most so-called churches that comprise so-called Christendom today. So let's look at doctrine. The doctrine of the Bible is specific. It's very specific. We read in Matthew 7, verse 28, following Christ's preaching on what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, as he finished, it says there in Matthew 7, 28, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, the people were astonished. That is, they were stunned. They were awestruck. They were astonished, it says, at his doctrine, at his teaching, the content of what he said. You listen to most so-called preaching today that is out there, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's no content to it whatsoever, biblically. There's some poems, there's some illustrations, some jokes. But biblically, there's nothing. There's nothing. People like it that way. Jesus said in John 7, verse 16, my doctrine, they were astonished at his doctrine. And now Jesus says, my doctrine, my teaching, is not mine, but his that sent me. So when Christ said, my doctrine, that was a declaration that he had doctrine, that he believed doctrine. And again, make no mistake about it, the Bible contains the doctrine or contains Jesus' doctrine. When he said, my doctrine is not mine, but his. Now we learn that God, the Father, has doctrine. But it's not mine, it's his. Jesus, what he's saying there, the point of what he's saying is my teaching, my doctrine, is not separate and apart from the Father's doctrine. It's one and the same. It's a unit. This is also, we read in Acts 13 and verse 12, the doctrine of the Lord. God has doctrine. We read in Acts 2 in verse 42 of the apostles' doctrine, which if you follow it through is the same as the Father's doctrine. And it is the same as God the Son's doctrine. In 2 John verse 9, we twice read of the doctrine of Christ. the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ. And in the very next verse, verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, it's specific. This doctrine refers back to verse 9, the doctrine of Christ. If there come any and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. We see that all Scripture is given by God and is profitable. That is, it is useful and it is productive for doctrine. For doctrine. So what is the church saying when they say, we don't emphasize doctrine? Well, they're saying a lot. And it's not good. Again, take doctrine out of God's Word, there's nothing left. Someone will say, well, I like the promises of God. The promises of God are based upon doctrine. I just believe in practical living. That's based upon doctrine. Look at Paul's epistles. Romans, Ephesians, look at all his epistles. He begins with doctrine and then goes into practice. You can't get away from doctrine. God's doctrine, Christ's doctrine, the apostles' doctrine is the doctrine that makes up the Word of God. And as such, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, and Titus chapter 2, verse 1, we read of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. The word sound there means healthy. The doctrine, the teaching of God's Word is healthy. It's not going to hurt you. Yet that's the way many churches act today. Well, if we present doctrine, it may hurt someone. It's sound. It's healthy. It's not bad for you. Truth, the truth of God's Word is never bad for you. Sound also takes on the idea of something that's solid, something that's valid. And the truth is, if it's according to God's Word, it's pretty solid. That's valid. It's authoritative. Sound doctrine. It's authoritative. The doctrine of God's Word is authoritative. That is why people get so angry. Well, I think. But then you present to them the Word of God, and there's an authority there, and they're offended. Sound doctrine is authoritative. It's reliable. You can depend upon it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, it's called good doctrine. Good in the fact that it's superior to any other teaching. Good in the way that it is correct. If it's taught in the Word of God, it's correct. It's healthy. It's good. So, doctrine is specific. It's specific. People do not like to get specific. And again, when I say, I'm not referring to us as a whole. I'm referring to modern day Christianity. They don't want specifics. Because doctrine leads into practice. If you get too specific, then we're going to have to get too serious about practice. And again, we want to go to Cracker Barrel, Bob Evans shopping, watch television. We'll be back next Sunday. The doctrine of the Bible, not only is it specific, it is a cohesive unit. Again, what Jesus said there in John, my doctrine is not mine but His that sent me. The Word of God, in referring to this doctrine that we've just mentioned, does so in the singular. It is the doctrine. When talking about God's Word, it is never doctrines, plural. Never. It's always the doctrine. Always. So it is referred, it's also referred to as the truth. The truth and the doctrine is one and the same. And more particularly, it's referred to as the truth of God. It is also referred to throughout the New Testament as the faith. The faith, referring to doctrine. But it is never the doctrines of God. Never. It's always the doctrine of God. Now, turn that around. When the word doctrines, plural, is used, it always refers to that which is false. It's only used a few times. But notice Matthew 15, also Mark 7. They both say the same thing. You can turn to Matthew 15, verse 9, or Mark 7, verse 7. They both say the same thing. But in Matthew 15, verse 9, Jesus speaking, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines," plural, "the commandments of men." What is the basis of these doctrines, plural? The basis, the foundation, is the commandments of men. And the commandments of men are of great variety, differing variety, and therefore they are referred to as doctrines. But when teachings have their basis upon God, it is the doctrine. The doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly," or plainly, exactly, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith," that's singular, "the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits," plural, "and doctrines of devils." It's not the doctrine of the devil. It's doctrines of devils. Hebrews 13, verse 9. "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." It's not doctrine. It's doctrines. So when it's used in the plural, it's always referring to that which is false. But when it's used referring to God, it's singular. Now, there are some times when the singular is used in regards to the Pharisees. But my point is that the word doctrines, plural, is never used when referring to the teachings of God. So what does that tell us? Well, the Word of God is not some loose, several unrelated ideas about spiritual matters. It's a cohesive unit. You base things upon the opinions of man, and you have a bunch of unrelated ideas. And that's why that is doctrines. But in the Word of God, it's a cohesive unit. It's one. It's one truth. And that's a principle that we need to always keep in mind. Now, most people, people that teach doctrine, they're going to do so systematically. There's one doctrine. That is, all the teachings of God comprise one truth. But you can break it up in several categories. If you were to pick up a theology book, most of them will break them up between 7 and 10 different categories. Bibliology, which is the doctrine of the Scriptures. It is the truth concerning the Word of God. Theology is the doctrine of God, or the truth concerning God. Christology, of course, is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, or what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ. Pneumatology would be the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. Anthropology. You know, I've always wanted to take an anthropology class at a university. It would be funny. Not really. But I wonder what in the world they teach when they teach anthropology. That is the doctrine of man, what the Bible teaches about man. And what the Bible teaches about man, the religious world is very offended by it. In fact, the religious world is more offended by it than the non-religious world. There is hamartiology, the doctrine of sin. That, of course, offends many. Soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. You have angelology, the doctrine of angels, the doctrine of demons. And of course, you have doctrine of last things. And that is a systematic, but the Bible doesn't present it systematically. Because you have to search. But as you study each of these things out, none contradict the other. None contradict the other. And therefore, it is doctrine. Singular. Cohesive unit. All truths of the Bible are interrelated. Notice in Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. The Bible is full of precepts. One precept does not deny another. If you think it does, you have either misunderstood both precepts or you have misunderstood one. But one precept does not disagree with the other. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And that's why Paul told Timothy that he must rightly divide the Word of God. And the way to do that, again, is to always remember the Bible is its own best commentary. If a verse over here seems to contradict a verse over here, that only seems that way. There's a misunderstanding somewhere. And that is the danger of basing a doctrine and building a religion upon a verse of Scripture taken out of its context. And people do it all the time. Because again, that's what the commandments of men do. We'll take this, we'll take this, we'll take this, we'll put it all together. And you have doctrines. But the Word of God, it all fits together. So if it doesn't seem to fit, that's a warning. You know, people will say, well, what do you think about such and such? I've been thinking, and I believe this. Well, there is a problem with that because it doesn't line up with this over here. So somewhere you've missed it. Somewhere you've missed it. Somewhere you're not understanding. You see, Scripture never has to be reconciled with Scripture. Only enemies are reconciled. And no two verses of Scripture are enemies. You don't reconcile Scripture. And many people talk that way. They're not at enmity with one another. So this is a very useful principle in examining truth. If one verse of Scripture seems contrary to another, again, that cannot possibly be so. It cannot possibly be so. It's a unit. The Bible emphasizes doctrine. Again, many will say today, we need to just preach Christ. I had a man tell me this not too long ago. We just preach Christ. We don't concern ourselves with doctrine. That's impossible. You can't preach Christ and not preach doctrine. Christ himself is doctrine. So that cannot be. We just preach Christ. Some will say doctrine is not what matters. Once again, you take doctrine out of the Word of God, you don't have anything. Yet the Word of God places great emphasis upon doctrine. Isaiah 29:24, we're told to learn doctrine. We're to learn doctrine. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come. This is his advice to a young preacher. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation. Pay attention to these things, to doctrine. To doctrine. To doctrine. That is, as you're reading, pay attention to doctrine, to the teachings of God's Word. For he told Timothy also in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Who labor in the word and doctrine. To rightly divide it is a labor. It requires study. It requires digging. It requires searching. And I'm not talking about digging and searching in commentaries. I'm talking about digging and searching in the Word of God. Doctrine. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. That is, be ready to preach the Word when it's convenient. Be ready to preach the Word when it's not convenient. Be ready to preach the Word when it's accepted. Be ready to preach the Word when it's not accepted. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. That is, preach the Word and do so with patience. Because guess what? People aren't all going to get it. Some will never will. With all long-suffering and doctrine. That is, you just keep patiently laying the doctrine out. They might get mad, they might leave, whatever. You just keep laying the doctrine out. The truth of God's Word. When a church gets concerned that the preacher is going to preach something and it's going to scare a visitor off, your concern is misfounded. And it is very dangerous. And we've preached on that before. In Titus 2:7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. This, again, he's talking about pastors, but it applies to all. In doctrine, uncorruptness. People say, well, it doesn't matter what we believe. Well, it seems to here. Doctrine, uncorruptness. Incorruptible doctrine. Pure doctrine. And what is pure doctrine? The Word of God. The Word of God. We have to, when we read the Word of God, we have to get our own ideas, our own prejudices. We all have them. We have to clear our heads of all those things and read the Word of God. Because if you go in and you're looking for something to support your prejudice or your opinion or your idea, that's when people twist scriptures in order to do that. So we have to be willing to lay all of those things to the side. How many times people have said, well, I've never heard it that way in my life. As if to say, that can't be true, I've never heard that. Well, there's a lot of things that we haven't heard that are true. This is an endless book. It's endless. And we just need to examine it. If you hear something and you think, well, I've never heard it quite that way before, examine it. Search it out in the Word of God. That's how we come to truths. So the Bible places great emphasis upon doctrine. That brings us to the value of doctrine. Again, we at the beginning of the message, we said that many will say we need preaching that applies to our everyday lives rather than abstract doctrinal preaching. Abstract doctrinal preaching. That statement reveals an enormous amount of ignorance concerning doctrine. Abstract doctrinal preaching. The doctrine of the Word of God is not abstract. Abstract means existing in thought or in idea, but having no concrete existence. That's not Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine is sound. We've already seen that. It has a concrete existence. What they're saying when they make a statement like that is, we can't use doctrine. It doesn't relate to our lives, but it does, if you just take time to look at it. So that's a very erroneous statement. Again, Moses, what he said there in Deuteronomy 32, it's his desire that the doctrine soak in as the rain. The desire is that doctrine has an impact upon life. And the teachings of this book is to have an impact upon our life. I'm not interested, whether it's Catholic or Baptist, whatever. I'm not interested in just a mere form of catechism where it just becomes rote. It has to become a part of our life. And doctrine, Bible doctrine, is crucial to the Christian way of life. The doctrine of this book should deeply affect our heart. I mean, every page there's doctrine. There's doctrine. I heard someone say one time, I like the Psalms because there's no doctrine there. There isn't? You know how many times the Psalms mentions God? there you go. The Psalms are filled with every book of the Bible. God had a purpose in writing, and it was to teach. That's doctrine. It's to affect our heart. It's to affect our tongues. It's to affect our composure. It's to affect our passions and our inclinations. It's to have an effect upon our conduct and at home and abroad. It's to have an effect upon our dress. It's to have an effect upon our overall demeanor. What we believe is to affect our demeanor. I mean, if we say we believe the truths of this book, how can we go around hanging our heads? When the doctrine drops down as rain and it enters into us, that has an effect upon our demeanor. You can't say that doctrine is not practical. If it has the proper effect, it's your life. And when I'm talking about demeanor, I'm talking about whether we're healthy or sick or rich or poor. Our demeanor ought to always be Christ-like, whatever the situation. Our behavior and manner of living should not be in such a way as to blaspheme what we say we believe. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, again, I'm showing there's a connection here between practical living and doctrine. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. This is, in today's world, this is an employee, you're an employee. And here's why. That the name of God and His doctrine, His teaching, be not blasphemed. That God and His doctrine, not doctrines, but doctrine, be not blasphemed. None of us, I'm sure there isn't anyone here, we do not want to do anything that would blaspheme the teaching of the Word of God. But that's what happens when we live contrary to it. We read in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, the doctrine which is according to godliness. That defines, that word godliness defines the nature of the doctrine. It promotes godliness. The teaching of God's Word never promotes ungodliness. Never. It always promotes godliness. The doctrine according to godliness. So it speaks of its nature. It also speaks of the design of doctrine. The nature of doctrine is godliness. The design, again, is to promote godliness. Doctrine is useless if it is not accompanied by a holy life. A person who knows truth in their head and lives like the devil will do more harm to the cause of God than a person who professes no truth and lives like the devil. Again, you can memorize doctrine, but if holiness is if a holy life does not accompany it, that doctrine is useless. It's according to godliness. The doctrine, the Word of God, is always meant to produce and to encourage the practical effect. It's the foundation of the practical effect. It is the foundation of the life. It is the foundation of what we practice. And the two, doctrine and practice, are not to be viewed apart. I think there's a great mistake when the two are viewed separate and apart. They go together. They go together. If we have a proper understanding of doctrine, it'll manifest itself in our life. The doctrine of the Word of God within the heart produces victory over sin. Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy Word. That's doctrine. That's doctrine. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Doctrine within our hearts gives us victory over sin. It teaches us how to live. Notice Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God, that's a doctrine, by the way, that's teaching. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And it does something. And doctrine always does. It continues to do this. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. There isn't a doctrine in the Word of God. There isn't a single teaching in the Word of God that does not teach us not to deny ungodliness. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The doctrine of the Word of God within our hearts gives us a divine viewpoint of life. You can tell much about what a person believes by their viewpoint of life, how they view life. Speaks volumes. Doctrine gives us much assurance. That's not in a... what's odd, in so many false religions, they get their little favorite things, eternal security being one of them, and we've addressed this many times. But every other doctrine they deny destroys their belief in eternal security. They have no right to believe, they have no basis by what they say and other things to believe in eternal security. But eternal security does what? Makes me feel good. And I'm not saying anything bad about it. I love the teaching of eternal security. But we know there's a basis for it, and the basis is the sovereignty of God. Amen. And they hate that. The basis of it is grace, and they hate that. So again, it gives us assurance. It gives us guidance. And then many will say, well, we don't believe in preaching doctrine because doctrine divides. Doctrine divides. And that's true. To some extent, that is true. I believe that is one of God's purposes for doctrine, is to divide. Jesus said he came not to bring unity and peace to everyone in the world. That's not why he came. But to set at naught father and son, mother and daughter. Truth divides. Truth divides. Romans 16, verse 17, I believe it is, makes that very plain. Yeah, verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." And avoid them. So yes, it is true that doctrine does divide. But it's also true that there is a sweet, sweet unity around doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith," which is doctrine. You see, yes, doctrine does divide, but there's a unity. There's a unity that we can have around doctrine. Around doctrine. No one, believe it or not, knows everything there is to know if you're to break the doctrine up into different categories. No one knows, no one's even close to knowing everything there is to know about that teaching. Not even close. And we need to always remember that. Because there are some who think that, or at least they act like they do, that they have a corner, they know this, and no matter what you say, no matter what you show them, no, they just cannot lay aside their prejudice. We need to do that. And then we need to be unified in doctrine. So in closing, let's read again Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2, and this ought to be our desire, that doctrine shall drop as the rain. That doctrine shall drop as the rain, shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb. Doesn't destroy the herb. It's the small rain upon the tender herb. And as the showers upon the grass. May we never fear doctrine. May doctrine never become a a bad word. A bad word. Churches will question an individual that they're considering calling as pastor, and they ought to. And I've sat through several of those questioning sessions, and many times it is not based upon doctrine. It's based upon what if this, what if this, what if this, what will you do? Doctrine. Doctrine. Doctrine is important. It is essential. It is vital. It is vital. And we ought to all be learning more and more doctrine, having better understanding of doctrine. We may see something, we may be studying a specific category, and we may see something regarding that specific category that we've never seen before. That's a wonderful thing. And it may even, when you see it, it may cause you to realize, well, if that is so, then I'm wrong over here. Happens all the time. Then what do you need to do? You need to change over here. You don't ignore over here. You change. That's part of teaching, and God teaches. And what Baptists need to learn, because they might be the worst, is not everybody is at the same point in doctrine at the same time. That's not how God does it. And yet, there are people, if this person isn't right here where I am at this time, I'm done with them. That's extreme. And I don't believe it's Christian either. We have to realize that we're not all at the same place at the same time. We may be in certain areas, but not always. That's why we're to do what? We're to pray for one another. We're to exhort one another. We're to encourage one another. Many times I've been studying and the Lord shows me something and I think, wow, that means what I taught over here, that's just not so. And that's why I tell people sometimes, I don't even agree with myself. A lot of times, because that happens. The Lord shows it to you, and then you realize, wow, that this was wrong over here. Or didn't have the full grasp. So God help us. God teach each one of us in His time, and that we encourage one another in doctrine. And don't ever be ashamed of doctrine. Don't ever be ashamed to tell a visitor, we use the King James Bible. Don't ever be ashamed to tell, well, I don't want to run them. You're not going to run them off. Amen. It's not going to happen. Don't be ashamed of doctrine. Just this last Sunday, a young man was here. He had an ESV Bible, I believe it was. And I noticed that, so I went back and got a King James Version. I said, you might want to use this. This is what we use here, King James Version. And he goes, well, it's more difficult to understand. I said, it really isn't. Just follow along in that. It would be less confusing than if you're trying to read ESV and I'm reading King James. And don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to tell people what we believe. Doctrine. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us verse.